That inspired generations of musicians. It's the Hi-Fi Dream Deep Dive.
Thank you. Hi-Fi Dream, the deep dive, that was Radio Department. It's stylized Radio DEPT, but the song's called Pet Grief from 2006. And before that was RAC doing with the group Great Good Fine Okay, a song called Fine, which was a new song that Willis chose. We've been sort of discussing the lyrics of the song and what my perception is, what it means, and what Willis thinks it might mean.
Pet grief.
I've always lived with it one way, and I'm not going to adapt because of the fact that it's such a personal song to me. Yeah. So if it is what you say, which it very well could be, by the way, I didn't talk to him about it. I never had a conversation with the singer of Radio Department to find out if it's actually what it is. But I always took it, and as a matter of fact, at that time in my life when I was listening to the song, I used to think it was of somebody who's basically, you know, maybe a best friend, girlfriend, that best girlfriend who just ended up in a breakup or is very sad. And then he came along and says, like, I know you're in a bad place right now. I'll shut up for you. I'll keep my mouth shut and I'll just be there for you.
Right.
And just like a friend would do. But your point is it's called pet grief. And you could be thinking she's grieving a lost pet. This type of group, the way they write their music, I don't see it being really about a pet, but it could be some sort of, I don't know.
So
what is
literal,
it,
you mean?
There might be something there. Maybe that's what they're positioning it as, but I don't know for sure. But go ahead and give me your thoughts.
Well, I think that's the beauty of art, right? It's up to who's listening to it, what you take from it. And I think it's good to hear your side of it to say, you know, when you picked the song, I was trying to read into it again, like I try to do. Okay, was it for the lyrics? In this case, it was for the lyrics. So then I'm trying to understand the lyrics. And I did take the literal interpretation of, you know, someone losing a pet and a very close friend, perhaps someone that even her, who she's in a relationship already, a person, trying to comfort that person and saying, you know, your pets don't talk back. So, you know, and you're feeling the grief, and I can give you that. I can fill that void for you. I'll just not talk.
You have the lyrics pulled up?
Yeah, I'm looking at
it. Because the first line of the song, if you look, it says, "And so he's gone, never put up a fight. You think you know someone, right? I don't think a pet would be not putting up a fight, or, you know, you wouldn't say you think you know someone."
Yeah.
I think that to me is like almost like, the where you hear that it's a person,
right?
An animal, but the pet grief, the way she's grieving it is like she lost something like that. So maybe there is, that's the tie back. But that first line of the song is what hooked me into thinking of it's definitely, you know, and now he's gone, never put up a fight. You think you know someone, right? Like I can almost hear you saying that to somebody, not you.
Right.
But I've always had an emotional attachment, not just to this song, but to this group. And a lot of their songs can kind of go towards, there's some political leanings.
Mm.
They do speak about fascism, anti-fascism, obviously. They do speak about, like, a lot of the injustices of the world. But then a significant amount of their music is kind of, like, sad-ish.
Yeah.
Lyrically, like, a little blue.
Well, what I really liked about this song is, aside from the lyrics, like sonically, very cool. First of all, I really like the beginning and the ending. There's this really trippy, sounds like a subway train coming to a stop, like, but it's right. Like this crazy flangey wind sound, which I've seen a beatboxer do using a straw in a cup of like a soda, and he can blow into it, and that sound of the air going through the straw, hitting the water and coming back up, makes that same sound. So you hear that's it in the cool. beginning and end of that song. But within the song, you pointed out like these really cool like piano chords, housey, and there's sustained chords too, and actually a lot of production in there that's very subtle and I think seamlessly pulled into this airy and upbeat song. So it's like sonically upbeat, and yet it's kind of trying to be this moody.
Exactly. There's almost a filter on his voice that makes it sound like it's coming through a transistor radio.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound clean. It's not full.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of set back. The other thing you mentioned, too, is it does have this tempo-wise. It's like, it's got like a I don't want to say freestyle, but maybe like a slightly slowed down freestyle. But the mood of the song is so soft and subtle that it's confusing, because you want to think it's an upbeat song, but it really doesn't feel like an upbeat song.
Yeah.
You can almost sway around and dance to it, but then you hear him singing and it's like halftime, and you almost feel like he's singing at a slower pace and a more like lethargic tone.
Right.
So it's almost conflicting in a way.
You're right.
But in a beautiful, beautiful way. I love it. I really suggest listening to that whole album, but their last couple of albums had more. Matter of fact, he made a very clear statement about the last album that they put out, Running Out of Love, I think it was called, where he wanted it to sound like Inner City, Good Life. That was the song that he wanted to write around. So a lot of the songs have the 90s house, late 80s, early 90s house sounds that we like.
Okay.
So I think you would probably enjoy that a lot.
All right.
So let's move on to the next, last set, right?
Yep, last two. Last set.
Ride, not the first time they've been featured on this show. One of my favorite shoegaze groups, top five for sure. And this is from their most recent album. Talk about it.
Actually, I don't think we've featured Ride on the show yet. We've talked about them.
Put them on?
I had to search, and they're not in my list. So I think now's the time, right? And we've talked about shoegaze bands from that era of the 90s quite a bit. And so the fact that we haven't played Ride, I was like, okay, now's the time.
I can't believe it. And of course you end up playing it, and they have all these classics that were like legendary classics from the early 90s,
right,
from their first couple albums that have not been played before. The most recent song, which probably the least amount of Ride fans know about, because it wasn't that popular of an album. But go ahead. I love the song, so it's not like your choice is perfect.
And so I thought, well, let me look at see what Ride's got. And it turns out they had this new release, so I said, this is perfect. So it's called Light in a Quiet Room from 2024. It starts out really deceptively mellow. And it's kind of a psychological song, I guess, being alone in a quiet room, the light in a quiet room. And it just feels very depressing at first, but but it kind of goes nuts at some point, and it gets very noisy, and that's the shoegaze, like, reminding people of these guys are, you know, some of the grandfathers of shoegaze. And like, even though we're old, we can still do it.
They went away for like 20 years before they came back with something new. 25 years maybe, right. Even. And it sounded like they never stopped making music.
Yeah.
It was really interesting.
Yeah. So the album that this is from, I did a preview of some of the other songs, and a lot of them are not that shoegaze sound. They're kind of more indie rock sounding, in my opinion. But a few have this ranging, like the wash and the huge guitar effects and all that. This song kind of gets crazy into that, but then it relaxes a little bit and you feel a little bit of a release at the very end. So I kind of like that.
So the band put out a bunch of records in the 90s, and then towards the end of the 90s, when shoegaze was literally turning into like a meme before memes.
Imploding, yeah.
It was over, and it became like kind of a joke. So they put out a couple of records that leaned towards like bluesy sounding.
Right.
And I don't think that they hit their mark, and I think they really alienated their fan base. So then they disappeared. I think their last album was Tarantula, which was like 96, 97, 98, something like that. They went away. They come back like 5 or 6 years ago, and they put out an album, two albums in a row, that were very much a throwback to where they left off with their shoegazy sound, which even in the evolution of Ride, their shoegazy sound got less shoegazy as they went and got more like post-punk indie rock, like you said, with just hints of shoegaze, you know, just enough vocally, I'd say, and even some of the guitars. But this first album that they put out upon their return was the most shoegazy. And the second one after that kind of even went into electronical territory in ways. There was some like flourishes of electronic.
Neat.
And then this album came out. And I think there was even two parts to this. I think there might have been two releases back to back. But I know this particular album was a departure from the prior two they just put out. So I feel like the band continues to evolve. They're not staying pat. Whereas, say, Slowdive, who are definitely the top of the mountain of shoegaze, right? They definitely keep it closer to their core sound. I think Ride's not afraid to ride it out and go into different territories.
Yeah.
And I really respect that about them. And this is an excellent song. This is headphone music at its finest right here.
Yeah.
I think this is a great song to just kind of put on the headphones, listen to it as loud as you can tolerate, and you'll hear expansive kind of flourishes here. I think it's brilliant. I really love this song. So
it's a good end to the show, I think, too, as far as the last song, two songs. It's kind of the ending is really dramatic, I think.
Yeah. My choice to follow your song is definitely taking it back to the format, meaning like something familiar, something that's a little bit unpredictable. If you're listening to the station all day, you'll hear you'll hear a bunch of songs that are like, wow, I didn't expect this.
Yeah.
Or, where did this come from?
Right.
This is one of those songs, because I think if you listen to it and isolate it as not just a Police song or a Sting song, just listen to what it is. Just listen to all the parts. And I'm gonna say that to you as we listen to these two songs, you and I.
Yeah.
Listen very closely to the instrumentation and the spirits in the material world by the Police, which is gonna be the last song. Doesn't sound like the Ride song. It wasn't like I picked it because it was an obvious follow-up.
Right.
But listen to all of the different instruments that are playing, and everything that gets added in has a purpose.
Oh, okay.
And it creates this unbelievable scope of sound.
Hmm.
We'll listen together, and I'll point it out to you.
Yeah, I think that's cool. I'm a fan of the Police for sure all this time. And I always liked their sound. They're clean. They had this specific clean sound that sounds like you're in the studio with them, or perhaps they're in your head. I always felt like that with their albums. And
that's interesting.
Some quality of production or recording, or maybe it's just they have some kind of deep root in my head, by birth. I don't know. But
they're magical.
Yeah.
They are three expert musicians in the same group. Stuart Copeland, maybe the best drummer of all time. Arguably the best drummer. Sting, one of the great lead men, front men, singers, and bassists.
Yes.
Let's not discount his bass playing. Right. Andy Summers is the only guitarist that could have made sense in that group. You were talking about it with me earlier. I was mentioning that if you notice the drums, they don't use a typical Western sound. They use reggae sounds.
Mm-hmm.
So rhythmically, it's a lot like listening to reggae music. They hit the snare hit, which is usual in rock and roll music, is on the two, and they hit the bass drum on the two, the snare sometimes on the one. So it's almost reverse of Western pop structure.
Yeah.
And so it does have a reggae sound to it for sure. But he also, Stuart Copeland, has a lot of like punk energy in his set. So it's hard to imagine he has a reggae sound with a punk kind of energy that creates its own sound completely.
Right.
No drummer has ever sounded this way. But notice the hits. It's a typical rock drummer is like do da, do do da, do da, like that think of that progression.
Okay.
Whereas his is da, do do da. So it's backwards from what our brains are used to hearing in American and English music.
Interesting. I'm glad you pointed that out.
This song is a clear one. You'll hear it in how he's hitting the rims. You'll hear it how the beat kind of like doesn't ever seem to have a groove to it,
yeah.
But it somehow is groovy at the same time. It's really bizarre. So listen to this together as our last two songs. Thank you so much, bro.
Thank you. Show 57.
Show 57. We're moving. We are moving along. This will be the last set. As again, I'm going to mention it. It's Ride, Light in a Quiet Room from 2024, brand new. And then The Police, Spirits in the Material World, which is from 1981. And a kind of weird way to end the show, but I'm ecstatic to play it. Like a song that's almost, dude, it's almost 50 years old. Come on. I mean, it's not. It's what, 43 years old?
Close.
Yeah, 43. Yeah. Still. It's closer to 50 than it is to 25. 43. All right. Thank you for listening. Enjoy the last two songs, and we'll see everybody back here again next week for another edition of The Deep Dive.
See you next time.
Hi-Fi Dreams Deep Dive.
No.